Right, all right. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing it is, again, to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Take your Bibles out, if you will, today. Let's turn to the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. It's where we had our reading already this morning. Isaiah chapter 43 is where we'll be for the duration of the sermon today. As always, guys, I hope and pray that this message is going to be a blessing to your heart and into your mind. But most importantly, I hope the message today challenges you. I'm a firm believer that if a person is going to be changed, if they desire a change in their life, they must first be challenged. But everyone who's challenged are not changed. In order for you to be changed in the midst of a challenge, you must meet that challenge. You must face that challenge. You must deal with it and deal with it head on so that success will come into your life. There's something known as living above the success line. We'll talk about that briefly here this morning. We'll spend a whole lot of time on it. But I do want you to think, as we embark upon this new year, I want you to think today about a success line in your life, whether it be a parental success line, whether it be a business success line, whatever type of endeavor. Mainly, I want to bring to you the Christian success line. And that is a line that you should strive to live above, that you should strive to go above and beyond the call of duty. Isaiah chapter 43, and looking in verse 18, the Bible says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless this morning's message to our hearts and our minds. And again, as already mentioned, Lord, my heart's desire today is that for you to make a difference in the lives of those that will hear this message, that will participate in it, that will be part of it. But again, Lord, I pray that it not only be a challenge to us this morning, but that, Lord, it would change us throughout the next 12 months and continue on in the rest of our life. As long as the Lord should tarry, his coming in the air, I pray this morning that you would allow us, dear God, to keep our eyes focused on you, that we would do that which is right before thine eyes according to thy word. And we give glory and honor and praise in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Beloved, doctrinally speaking, and I have to say this to make it crystal clear today, doctrinally speaking, the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah is speaking about the restoration of the nation of Israel at the second advent of the Lord. It's not referring to the church age. It is speaking of a time after Daniel's 70th week when the Lord will restore the nation of Israel back into their land and restore them as a nation for the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. This is supported by verse 15 that says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel," watch this, "your King." Remember, we look in Revelation chapter 19, we see that when the King of Kings, then he receives his crown to be the King. Amen. Verses 20 and 21 says, "The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen." That's speaking of the nation of Israel. Verse 21, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Amen and amen. So doctrinally speaking, when you look at it from the doctrinal sense, and we have to be very careful in our Christian life today because there are too many. As a matter of fact, I would dare to say there are more within our personal area, not only here, but even within our own nation, who doctrinally overlap too many applications that deal solely with the nation of Israel and put them into the church age. And beloved, listen, the church did not replace Israel. God didn't. He is not finished with Israel. God is not a liar. God's covenant is still intact with them. We are just in the church age today, making three groups of people on this planet: the nation of Israel, the Jew, the Gentiles, and the church of God. The church of God is made up of saved Jew and saved Gentile. So I want that to be crystal clear today. Doctrinally speaking, this chapter is clearly speaking of the second advent, speaking of the restoration of the nation of Israel at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the second coming, not the rapture of the church. But spiritually speaking, meaning taking a practical application, there are many new things which are brought forth by the Lord, and his instructions here to the nation of Israel really and truly can become a beautiful principle for the local church. But when you look at the church age, the new things that the Lord brings into our life, the new things the Lord brings forth through salvation would be the new man, amen? We have the new man inside of us now. We are to be new creatures. We are given new days and new ways. We are given a new walk according to the Spirit of God. And may I say this to you this morning, that a new year can bring a new drive, a new commitment, a new direction in your life. And beloved, that's why I am fully convinced today that we need a simple reboot in our life. A spiritual reboot, I mean, a rededication to the Savior who has given us the greatest gift in the world, eternal salvation, a recommitment to the local church for which he died. Jesus tells us very clearly, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church, he said. At the same time, guys, you can choose to remain the same in your life. That's your choice today. You can say, making the new year just another year of the same old, making no changes at all. The Bible speaks about those that make no changes. Tells us because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Romans chapter 3, in several verses there, verses 10 and 11 to start out with, says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Verse 16 tells us, destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Beloved, those who choose simply not to change is a result of having no fear of God before their eyes, and therefore the way of peace have they not known. Now, beloved, this past year, we all dealt with some type of struggle in the past year. I understand that. I mean, some were greater than others, and I understand that clearly. But nonetheless, struggles and difficulties and pain and problems all played a significant part in the year we experience, as it does every year. But now is the time to learn, and now is the time to live. It is time to reboot our spiritual lives and our spiritual well-being. It's time for us to take the difficulties and the things that we dealt with in the last year, learn from them and leave them and live today and be stronger Christians, stronger believers in our Christian life in 2021 than we were in 2020. And beloved, I believe in all my heart, in order for us to do this, the first thing we need to do is we must forget. In verse 18 says, remember ye not the former things. Now, beloved, the choice is ours to make today. We can hold to grudges. We can hold to the pain of the past year or the previous years before that. If we want to be a successful Christian, it's going to require a certain forgetfulness. And I know that sounds a bit odd, but just stay with me here. I know it sounds odd that I'm telling you to forget some things, but it's a personal choice to live below that line of success that I spoke about here just moments ago. If we focus on the negativity of the days we are living in or in what happened yesterday, last week, last month, last year, we'll never supersede that line of margin that we know is success. And the answer isn't going to going somewhere else or hoping new things will be different in another place. They'll never be different if we don't change ourselves. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Beloved, having a good memory is one thing. And trust me, a good memory comes in handy. And the Lord has blessed me with a very, very good memory. And I am thankful for that. And here's the deal. I don't know how long that memory is going to last. I don't know if over the next year that I start forgetting things, but I can remember things in grave detail from 40 some odd years ago, and I don't know why. Now, the deficiency I do have is names, I will say that. But God has blessed me with a good memory. And it does come in handy on occasions. It comes in handy in remembering scriptures. It comes in handy. However, utilizing a short memory in mistakes and successes in our life will enable you to reboot your life. Think about it like this for a second. If we are to rededicate and be committed, take a next level in our days on this earth today, it's going to require having a short memory, not only for the mistakes and the problems and the predicaments of last year, but even the successes we've had in this life as well. Overcoming mistakes quickly is a part of a strong mental game. Holding to mistakes and even the high points of our life will hurt your focus on what is next. Beloved, we must allow mistakes to teach us. We must learn from them, but we must move on. Life, I want you to think about this. Life is a competition. That is an absolute truth. Every single day is a competition. And typically the opponent is our very selves. Sometimes it's outside elements, but often the opponents we face are days gone past. Beloved, we all make mistakes in the midst of competition. No matter who you are, we all make mistakes. We have misjudgments. We make bad decisions. And confidence is usually at its highest when we are able to accept the fact that we will make mistakes. But in life, we must learn from them, let them go, and leave the last play, leave the last battle, leave the last struggle where it was. Just like we must leave the last year behind. Learn from it. By all means, learn from it. I believe if we fail to learn from what this past year was, we have miserably failed in life. But now's the time to refocus. Now is the time to refocus on what you need to do in the present. It's time to have a reboot. I think one of the greatest tragedies that we as believers commit is not forgiving ourselves for what God has already forgiven. You know, some people have zero problem whatsoever in forgiving others, and hallelujah to that. Some people struggle greatly with that. I've met some people, man, they hold on to grudges like it's the last piece of bread on the table. But I've met some people that have, I tell you, they've been abused and abused and abused and kicked around, and they have no problem whatsoever in forgiving them that's done them wrong, and praise God for them. But they struggle in forgiving themselves. I think it's a great tragedy when we as believers forgive ourselves for God's already forgiven. Matter of fact, C.S. Lewis said, I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, listen carefully, he says, it is almost like setting up ourselves as a higher tribunal than him. If God has forgiven you, you must forgive yourself and move on. You're not higher than God. You're not greater than God. You're not more powerful than God. And if God himself, the creator of all things, has forgiven you, you must forgive yourself. We must learn first to forget. Secondly, we need to clearly understand that in this world today, there is a fight. Now, guys, I'm not trying to necessarily promote violence here. Stay with me on this. I'm not saying that. But the verse goes on to say, neither consider the things of old. And I want you to hold to that for a second because it may not make sense at the first. Beloved, we live in a world today which, I mean, it's a confusing world if you want to know the truth. I mean, the first thing that you find in our world today is that there's this passivity that is being taught to people today. Our society is teaching certain segments of our culture to roll over and die, a roll over and die type of mentality. Young people are taught that there is no wrong or right, only feelings and how they feel, which should trump moral decisions. Now, they're teaching our young people this. They're teaching our boys and our girls to be things that just to be kicked around, just to say, you know what, that you know you can't stand on what is right or what is morally sound, but how you feel trumps everything. And yet at the same time, while teaching this type of what I would call outright insanity, the video game He is now estimated to be worth $159.3. That's 116.5 billion pounds. Man, you know what I could do with 1 billion pounds? Amen. It's a 9.3 increase from 2019. Here's the kicker. Now, guys, I'm not preaching against video games before these two start turning me off. I'm not saying that. But I'm just trying to bring a correlation between the insanity of this passivity type of teaching, the rollover and die mentality, while glorifying the violence that they teach on screen, be it movies or be it video games. You know, the average game player today is 35 years old. The average purchaser of video games is 36. When I was 35 and 36, I was running a business, pastoring a church, and raising four children and a farm, and coaching kids on two different teams, amen? I didn't have time to sit in front of a video screen somewhere and play games. Just let that sink in a while. 35 and 36 years old. You're not even 35 yet, are you? Good night, man. I mean, there's a new study that shows that the most prominent event in the gaming calendar is dominated by violence. Of the 239 games they counted as being featured at E3, and I don't even know what that is, I'm just going by the study, only 41 of them, 17%, can be considered nonviolent. Now, again, I'm not here to debate the gaming factor with you this morning. I'm not here to determine whether or not violent video games contributes to violent children. And I'm not here. Most of these kids are glued to that thing for so long, they ain't got time to go outside and be violent. They're stuck in a basement somewhere in the dark. Amen? But I want to make it crystal clear today that the teaching that society brings forth of this passivity and then the raging amount of violence in video games and movies today is hypocritical to the nth degree. From the education system down, they are teaching men to have zero masculinity, to become soft, and they're teaching women to be anything but sweet ladies. I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells me a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies, amen? I'll take a virtuous woman out of Proverbs chapter 31 before I will any of these harlots that they're teaching our young people to be today, amen. I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to be arrogant this morning, but I'm trying to tell you right now, if you lean to the ways of the world, it is not of anything but complete confusion, amen. Hypocritical, to say the least. They're raking in billions of pounds every year. And it's the same people who are living out fantasies of killing and shooting people online that are being indoctrinated with something quite opposite during the day. It doesn't make sense to young people. It's confusing to them. Good night, it's confusing to me. I'm saying all that for this purpose today. One, because the way of the world's rationalization at the very least doesn't make sense. At the very worst, it's perverted. So what does that mean for us as Christians? What does it mean for us as believers? Beloved, it means that there is a fight that we have on our hands. And what is that fight? Is it a fist fight? No. Is it a fight with literal weapons? No, it's not. It's a fight to do the right thing. It's a fight to do the right thing, not so according to the ways of the world, which again, the ways of the world, they don't even consider the church important. And we know that to be true because literally everything, or so many things are scheduled for Sundays. There's a battle in this world today, and it's a battle of our mind this morning. A battle how we think and what we should think. A battle of justification between political correctness and biblical righteousness. You know what we need in our minds today? We need a reboot. Need to flip it off and flip it back on. Need to unplug it. We need a restart is what we need. And no, it's not going to be easy, guys. It is difficult. But the battle is from within. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Beloved, your flesh and my flesh would do some of the most reprobate things if it just got its will in its way. That's why the battle occurs. There is an enemy raging within the flesh today, one in which is battling in the mind every single day. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, he says, For they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded, which is fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot, listen carefully, cannot, not will not, should not, cannot please God. Can I say this to you this morning? You cannot legislate morality. You cannot do it. It is not subject to the law of God. It is the Spirit of God within you. It is that new man that is within you that must fight that battle of the mind and bring every thought and every intent and every imagination to the will of God. It will require a fight in your life, a fight against the flesh, maybe even your friends. Guys, we need to remember that convenience and complacency and the lack of conviction is a foe in our life. A foe that we face sometimes daily. Some people think that if they change where they are, things will be different, and it's not true. The issue isn't where you are, but the issue is who we are. The battle is here. The battle is right here. It's between the mind. We must overcome the temptation of our mind, and yes, guys, it's hard. If it was easy, everyone would do it. Amen? But at the end of the day, it's going to be, yes, it's difficult to read your Bible. Guess what? Read your Bible every day. Yes, it's difficult to pray every day. Pray every day anyway. Yes, it's difficult to go to church when the doors are open. Go anyway. Amen. This is the truth. Guys, the bottom line is that we'll either make a way or we'll make an excuse. But the choice is ours, and it will require a fight if we're going to reboot this life. If we're going to reboot this year, if we're going to reboot the way our mind operates and the way we serve God today, that's what it's going to require. Beloved, Paul instructed the Galatians to stand firm in Jesus Christ. He said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's an enemy that came into the Galatian church and began to play with their mind, just like it does ours today, teaching things that they ought not learn or to live by. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, Paul says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth this. Let me ask you this question this morning. What little voice came in unto you and in your mind in 2020? What little voice started teaching you things contrary to the Holy Spirit of God? Beloved, our commitment level is the measuring rod to whom and what we are surrendering our minds to. And yes, it is a battle. It is a fight every day, and some days are tougher than others, but just like the Navy SEAL said, the only easy day was yesterday. Paul said, fight the good fight. He said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So, beloved, as we reboot our lives, as we reboot the way we think and the way we operate, the way we function, as we reboot our commitment, our dedication, and our conviction to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand that it's good to forget certain things. We must fight daily in order, finally, to move forward. To move forward. I had a man in my first church said one time as he left, I've told you this time and time again, and he was leaving a Wednesday night service. We had finished up in our midweek service, and we were just fellowship out in the little hallway we had in our first building. And he said, preacher, he said, if something ain't growing, it's dying. And he walked on out the building. Now, the thing about it is, and again, I know I'm repeating myself. You've heard it before, but this guy was no scholar. This guy was no preacher. This guy was no philosopher. This guy was just an old country boy that rode a tractor and a bulldozer for a living. But he made some strong sense that night. If something ain't growing, it's dying. The Lord says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. It is time for us to move forward, beloved. It is time for us to move on, to march in the direction the Lord would have us to go, holding on to what used to be or the way it was or even what happened to me is a waste of time. And it's hindering you from making progress above that line of succession, above that line of success. Again, I'm not saying that it'll be easy, not by a long shot. All I'm saying to you this morning is it will be worth it, I promise you. Beloved, the Lord wants to do a new thing in our life. He wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to do a new thing in our area, in our community, throughout our church, through this church right here. God wants to do a new thing in the valley here. The question is, do you want to be part of it? No, guys, it may not be a new thing in history, but it'll be a new thing in our lifetime. We haven't had a true revival break out in this valley right here in 100 plus years. Don't talk to me about the 1904 revival. I'm talking about an 1859 type revival. I'm talking about a 1760 type of revival. I'm talking about a revival that broke out in the 1700s under Daniel Davies and Robert Roberts and Christmas Evans. I'm talking about a revival like in 1859 that broke out through all of this area. Listen, that's the kind of revival we need. Not hocus pocus and sensationalism. We need a real deal revival today. And I believe that's a new thing that God wants to do. We need a reboot, my friend. We simply need a reboot. It's what we need in our life. We need a revival. The fire within us that was sparked by the Holy Spirit of God needs to be rekindled. And I know you're sitting here, you're cold, I'm cold, we're freezing, and you're thinking, boy, I could really use a fire right now, amen. Well, you think how bad you want that fire for your physical body, and you need to have that spiritual fire 10 times more in our life today, amen. And you can have it. I promise you that you can have it today if you want it. Go back to the day of the hour in which you received salvation. Go back to that moment when it became real to you, amen. Remember the weight that was lifted from your heart. Remember the joy that was set in from knowing Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, as your personal Savior. Remember that moment when he moved in and allowed that flame to grow. That's what you want today. That's what I want today. Leonard Ravenhill said in his book, Why Revival Tarries, he said the gospel is not an old, old story freshly told. He said it is a fire in the spirit fed by the flame of immortal love. He said, and woe unto us if through our negligence to stir up the gift of God, which is within us, that fire burns low. It's going to require you to forget some things. It will not come without a fight. But it is the only way that we're going to be able to move forward today. Beloved, I challenge you this morning. I challenge you to let 2021 be the year of the reboot of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let 2021 be the year where you commit to the local church and dedicate yourself in seeing the gospel to be seen, heard, and known through your every step and your every word. That's what this year should be for you. Not the same old, same old. If you don't want it, guys, you'll either make a way or you'll make an excuse. But if you want it this morning, you'll commit your heart to God right now. And you'll commit your soul to the everlasting hands of Jesus Christ. And you'll commit your body and your mind to the local church for what Jesus Christ wants to do in our village, in our valley, in our country here now. It starts with us. It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with a reboot. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give us to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for your message, Lord God. And I pray the physical distractions, Lord, of this day and this age and this time and even this weather, Lord God, would not remove what we need to apply in our hearts through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Lord, I love you and I thank you for who and what you are. And I thank you for everything that you've done for me in my life. And I simply ask you this morning, if you will, please bear witness upon our lives. Please make a difference upon our days. Please, Father, move in a great and wonderful and mighty way so that honor and glory and praise may be brought to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name I ask. Amen and amen.